The truth is, he's praying for the spirit, soul, and body because the spirit does need prayer. What happens at salvation is the Holy Spirit steps inside of our spirit and occupies an area of the spirit. There are so many scriptures about the brokenness of the spirit. Guess what will break your spirit? Heartbreak.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
All right, friends. So we are back and we're going to talk about why we minister to the human spirit. Now, for certain areas in the body of Christ, this is just borderline heresy in their minds. You bring up like, yeah, they do ministry of the human spirit, prime ministries. And these people are like, oh my gosh, you need to stay away from that. You don't minister to the human spirit. And there's, you know, usually an underlying philosophy that says either A, there is no distinction between soul and spirit. So trying to minister to a spirit exclusively of the soul would be akin to ministering to a foreign or demonic spirit, and who wants to minister to demons? Therefore, this is wrong. The other perspective that would really throw people off is the idea that the human spirit is perfected at salvation. So if a person's saved, their spirit is perfect, and hence, why would you ever minister to a human spirit? I want to point out a couple of things in this podcast to lay out the groundwork for the theological reasons why we minister to the human spirit. Beginning with 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which says, may the God of all peace sanctify you completely. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. The truth is, he's praying for the spirit, soul, and body because the spirit does need prayer. It's not an automatic. Otherwise, there would be no reason for the Apostle Paul to say, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. He would just say, I pray your soul and body, because the spirit is already perfected and it doesn't need anything. Think about it. Number two, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. New Testament theology acknowledges that the spirit can have filthiness, despite the fact that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he was joined to the Lord, is one spirit with him. What happens at salvation is the Holy Spirit steps inside of our spirit and occupies an area of the spirit known as like the Holy of Holies of the Spirit. It's like it's an area of us where Holy Spirit abides. It cannot be touched by sin or anything else, because Holy Spirit is certainly perfect and is certainly God. The rest of our spirit, however, is debatable. And in fact, can be slimed, can be broken, and can definitely be defiled or filthy. And so why do we need to minister to the human spirit? There are so many scriptures about the brokenness of the spirit and the different kinds of situations a spirit can find itself in that would require ministry. And at Bride Ministries, we do this a lot. I mean, I've been ministering to human spirits now since 2015. And I'm going to tell you, the number of lives that have been turned upside down and transformed for the better has been directly related to ministry to the spirit is off the charts. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You can't have that many people with that many testimonies and walk away from that and say, oh, you know what? This must have been the wrong kind of ministry to be doing. This must have been just a charade or just a fantasy of my own mind. No, changed lives demonstrate the validity of God's work. And so this is why we need to minister to the human spirit. Number one, the human spirit can be broken. The Bible says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. In that passage, the word for broken is shabar. It means to break or shatter in pieces as if you were to drop a vase on the ground. That's the kind of brokenness Psalm 51:17 applies to the human spirit. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Did you know that a person with perverseness in their mouth, verbally abusing you day after day, week, some of you, this was your whole childhood, day after day, week after week, verbal pummeling. I mean, you got smashed, called every curse word in every language. I mean, you need a translator to keep up with all the curse words that are flying at you from every direction. Yeah, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Guess what? That bombardment of verbal abuse had every ability to break your spirit. And maybe since childhood, you've been despondent, depressed, sunken countenance. You just can't really get a leg up. You go to worship, it's dry. You go to read the Word of God, it's dry. Man, it's hard to really encounter the love of God. You may have a broken spirit. Proverbs 15 and verse 13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Guess what will break your spirit? Heartbreak. Go through a very difficult season where you get divorced, where your mom dies, your dog dies. I pray that that's not happening to you right now. But these are kind of things. These are the kinds of things that just break people's hearts. I mean, it's like loss or betrayal or whatever. And it's like, wow, man, this thing just shattered my heart. Guess what? The spirit can break at the same time. And then you're in a situation. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. There are some people that your health is tanking and is in a negative place because your spirit is broken. And you've been lied to because when you asked your other theologian friend, could my spirit possibly be requiring ministry? They said no out of the abundance of their ignorance. It's actually a posture of ignorance, in my opinion. I'm sorry, I'm just bold when I come out on this because I've been here for over a decade, right? So I know what God is doing. There are people that need ministry to their human spirit so their body can start to heal. Keep that in mind. Proverbs 18 and verse 14, the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? How many times does the Bible have to say the spirit can be broken before we wake up out of this funk of wrong theology and be like, wait, all of these scriptures say that the spirit can be, give me one scripture that says the spirit can't be broken. One, go ahead. No, really, listener, try. You won't find it. You won't find it. The best you're going to do is that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, which I explained in the beginning. The spirit of man can absolutely be broken. And this is one of the top reasons why the human spirit needs ministry. In fact, in Job 17 and verse 1, he said, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. You know, when a person's spirit has tapped out, they can be ready for death. It's just amazing. So we minister to the human spirit because the spirit may be broken and it needs repair. Number two, the spirit can be idle. And this is really interesting. The Bible says some of the most fascinating things, and sometimes it's not so clear what the Bible is saying until you begin to do your word studies. Now, in the natural, what does idleness mean? Some of you have met a couch potato before. What does a couch potato do? Well, they turn into a potato on your couch. They grow lumps and bumps, usually around the midsection and maybe in the, chest area. And then they grow strange hairs or roots. They get planted in that couch and they cease to produce fruit in their lives. They are idle. They're not working. They're not making money. Usually they're not making anyone's life any easier, but they are definitely eating your food. Okay, now, the spirit can be idle. The Bible says in Psalm 32 and verse 2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In the spirit, there can be deceit? Whoa! That word deceit comes from the Hebrew word remia. It means deceit, idle, lax, slackness, or treachery. Coming from a root meaning a letting down or relaxing of the hands and indolence. Can you imagine that a person's human spirit could be in this condition? So a person's trying to go about their life, maybe as the soul, they're thinking, I would like to do something with my life. I'd like to really make some moves. But when they reach in to that deep well of life and strength and power found in the spirit is a couch potato. And so the soul ends up trying to carry the weight of going after some kind of great exploit alone. And they will find that that is taxing. It's really hard to do anything extraordinary for a sustained period of time without the spirit being on board. It's just hard. Frankly, a lot of people are pursuing the life that they are pursuing without the aid of the spirit being behind them. It's really interesting, actually. But for those whose spirit is idle, that spirit needs a fire started under its butt so that it gets into action and starts working behind the soul to pull off great exploits. This is another reason why we need ministry. It's so interesting, you know, and I will minister to these people, and the spirit, when we get to that, is wounded, it's discouraged, it's sad, whatever, it's broken over something. And I say, well, what have you been doing for the past 5 years? And the spirit basically acknowledges, oh, nothing. I've just been depressed. I've given up. I'm not really interested in whatever the soul's trying to do. I'm in my own state of funk. So they're idle. And when the ministry happens, the spirit comes back online. It gets its strength back. It gets its fire back, its enthusiasm back. And a person's life, it changes. Another reason why we minister to the spirit is the spirit may need renewing. The Bible says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, when we think that the soul and the spirit are not to be distinguished one from another, none of this makes any sense at all. When we understand the triune man and that the soul has a consciousness and the spirit has a consciousness and they're different, though we are one human, what we realize is that the spirit of man, that part of us, may need its own renewal independent of the soul. And this is especially true when a person goes through a heartbreaking, heartrending, difficult season. They may take several hits and maybe the soul's trying to recover and move on, but the spirit is still sitting back and it needs its own renewal. Not all spirits are engaged in a person's mandate from God, even if the person is a believer in Jesus Christ. And many times we find that the spirit needs renewal in the process of ministry so it can get back online and really start doing its job relative to the person's life. When that spirit that needs renewal is ministered to, it regains zeal, determination, conviction of purpose, and suddenly, bam, that person's life changes. And so it's a big deal. I mean, we minister to the human spirit because it is mission critical for what God wants to do in the earth in this age. Now, here's another reason why we minister to the human spirit. The spirit can be overwhelmed. Yeah, it's absolutely a fact that the Bible in Psalm 142 and verse 3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. Not the soul. It's not the soul. The spirit, independent of the soul, can go into overwhelm on the basis of some kind of opposition. Psalm 143 and verse 4, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. There it is again. It's Incredible. Psalm 143 in verse 7, just a few verses later, says, "Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails." The human spirit is not immune to intimidation or fear. In fact, some spirits can be rather fragile until they've received a great deal of ministry. And so why are we ministering to the human spirit? Because we need the army of God to take its position now for the purposes of God and the earth. We've been doing this game, this religion game, for way too long. You know, and religion is really good at helping people to lock into a mode of engaging God out of the soul. Religion gives rules, expectations, and protocols so the soul can follow rules, expectations, and protocols and feel like they've been religious or appropriately religious to please God. And God is disintermediating the system of religion and religious control with the true bride of Christ that is coming into a fullness of stature in this season, that is being appointed to do great works and mighty deeds in the earth leading up into the end of the age. Like, and so in order for the body of Christ to do what we are called to do at this hour and season, this human spirit needs to be part of the equation. People need their spirits present, online, enthusiastic, fired up, doing extraordinary things. And if the spirit is overwhelmed, it's in a state of intimidation, fear, failure, etc., it's just not going to work. They need ministry. It's and the thing is, when ministry happens to a human spirit in this condition, it changes and bam, the person's life transforms. You know, one of I'm just going to end with this. The final thing is that the spirit can have pre-Adamic trauma. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God knew who Jeremiah was before Jeremiah was born. It was Jeremiah's spirit's resume that got him the job of being the prophet called to Israel in a very dark season and hour. And the reality is, it doesn't say how long before conception did God know Jeremiah. But what I'm going to tell you is, what we've learned is that human spirits have been around for eons, a very, very long time. Human spirits were created outside of time. We were not created on a timeline relative to earth, dates, and times. So our origin is called Archi. It's a realm. It's a realm of beginning. And from that place and that point, we have had an existence with God and in the heavens and through many ages, including pre-Adamic ages, where a lot of things happened. Wars happened. I mean, betrayals happened. Imprisonments happened. The rebellion of Lucifer happened. It's in the corporate spirit memory of, like, literally all people on earth. It's crazy. And, you know, the drama and trauma of pre-Adamic ages affected everyone's human spirit differently. And we are finding now that ministering into that trauma is producing transformation and total change in people's lives. Major mega shifts that are positive and fruit bearing. And so why do we minister to the human spirit? Because, quite frankly, it's necessary. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.